Well, I say I hope you had a good week. I pray that God will bless us as we continue our study in spiritual growth. I hope you all have been memorizing the verses and all that. Okay. Anyway, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 as we will continue in our study. Okay. But before that, let's have a word of prayer, and then after that, we memorize our verse. Then after that, we'll read 2 Peter. Okay. You can turn there first. Then after that, we will pray. 2 Peter chapter 1. Alright, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence to learn of your word. Lord, we remember in the book of Luke chapter 4 how it was the custom, it was the habit of the Lord Jesus Christ to be in God's house every Sabbath. Of course, we don't worship on the Sabbath anymore. But Lord, she was faithful to your house. He was faithful to the place of worship. And I'm praying, Father, that you would teach us too to do that. So Lord, right now as we sit in your presence, as we want to hear your precious word, we pray that you teach us to listen, help us to be humble, to receive your word. And Father, help us to put away all distraction or tiredness so that we can focus and learn what it means to add brotherly love, Lord, to our spiritual growth. I pray for the Sunday school children, even as they are being ministered to. I pray, Lord, that you will help the little children to learn about Christ, and the Word of God will help them to have a strong foundation in their life. So, Lord, we commit this 45 minutes to an hour into your hands. We pray that you would bless us even as we seek to walk with you. And we thank you for those who are still on their way. Bring them quickly. I pray that the buses will bring them in quickly. We thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for Pastor Darrell with us. We pray that we can be a blessing to him, Lord, as he comes to bless us with your word. Well, thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right, anyone like to try 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11? Yeah, I'll go first. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Think then that all those things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Okay, maybe what we do is just read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Okay. All things shall be dissolved refers to the second coming of Christ. In fact, it refers to the second part of the second coming of Christ, talking about the eventual destruction of this entire world and this entire universe. Okay, some people don't believe that. Some people believe we're going to live on planet Earth forever. No, we won't. Okay, we are just a passing through. One day God is going to give us a new heaven, a new earth. But before he do that, just like any other renovation, you have to get rid of the old. So God will have to destroy all these things. And then the new heaven and the new earth will come. And so Peter encouraged the challenge of Christians. So if these things are going to finish, what manner of lifestyle ought we to live? We cannot continue in our sin. We cannot continue in ungodliness. We need to trust Christ as our Savior. Okay? So that is a verse. Memorize it. Remember it for the rest of your life. Because Jesus is coming soon. And he is coming. And we need to be ready for that. Okay? Getting rid of sin. Getting rid of things in our lives. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. Let's read the passage. Then we'll move on to adding. As part of our spiritual growth, we talked about all that. Okay, let's read together 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. Ready? Ready? 1, 2, go. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Okay? So we're talking about spiritual growth. And we talk about the fact that when you add to your we have faith in Christ. That's a starting point. And after that, we're supposed to put in effort. Give all diligence, put in effort, add to your faith virtue. Virtue has the idea of obedience to anything and everything that God teaches you. Then after that, as the more you obey, the more you feel that, hey, I need to know more, you add knowledge. And then after that, knowledge, you add temperance. Temperance has to do with self-control. Okay, have to do with self-control over things in your heart. Controlling anger, controlling different things of our lives. Okay? And then after temperance, patience. Okay, patience has to do with enduring in situations we cannot control. And after patience, we add godliness. Okay, godliness has to do with a fear of God. Godliness has to do with putting God in everything we do. Okay, beginning as Christians, sometimes we don't see the relevance of God, but over time, you begin to realize. Example, sometimes God may have to interrupt our life with a crisis, or sometimes even with near death. Sometimes you may accidentally or get into a situation whereby you nearly died, or someone you know nearly died, and say, hey, I better be more aware that I am not invincible. This is not my life. This is God's life. And how people turn to Christ because of that. So adding godliness after we become Christians, everything we do, every decisions we make, any career we take, every step we go, every place we go, every decision we make, we need to put God in the analysis, okay? And today we're going to look at adding to godliness brotherly kindness, okay? Hopefully we'll be able to cover it. I think it's quite straightforward. I'm going to give you definitions and 10 ways for us to add brotherly love, okay? Okay, can anyone tell me where does the word, anything of a Greek word, brotherly love, okay, where does it come from? Brotherly love. It's a very famous, not, it's one of the cities in the US. It's one of the NBA basketball team. Okay, it's a great word, we got the word friend from. Philadelphia, okay? Philadelphia, if you go to the U.S., it's known as a city of brotherly love, okay? Because the word filio is, Philadelphia, filio is friendship, and Delphia has to do with from the same womb, okay? And so, the Greek word for brotherly love is actually Philadelphia, Philadelphus, okay? Phila has to do with affection as a friend, as a brother, or as a friend, and then Delphus has to do with come the same womb. And it's important, okay? Let me give you the definition. Philadelphia is the love between Christians that leads to acts and actions of benevolence, meaning of kindness, to help and lift each other's burdens in this world. Okay, just generally, brotherly love is the love between Christians that leads to actions of kindness to help and lift each other's burdens in this world. There are two meanings in the word brotherly love, okay? I think the main, there are two. One is, as I mentioned, right? Delphus, you have to remember the word Delphus means from the same womb. From the same womb. Okay, the Bible tells it very clearly, all of us, if you are Christian, we are born from the same spiritual womb of Christ, okay? All right, born of the Word of God. All of us, that's why all of us as Christians have the same Heavenly Father. Okay, we have the same Holy Spirit, we have the same hope, we have the same Bible. Why? Because we're all born in the same womb, okay? But Phila has the idea of being dear or friend. In other words, from the same womb, we have love for each other simply because we're from the same womb. Okay? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. The Bible says, okay, let's read the two verses together. Ready? One, two, go. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So Peter is telling the Jewish Christians that because you're born again, the seed, the nature of God, the seed that is in you is not corruptible, it's incorruptible. Okay? Talking about the Word of God, by the incorruptible Word of God. All of us came to Christ because we heard the Word, the Holy Spirit impress on our hearts, and we realize that, hey, this is salvation in Christ. I accept Him as my personal Savior. In verse 22, Peter then says, "See that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Holy Spirit unto unfeigned love." In other words, when I love Brother June, when I love Christians in the church, the love is unpretentious. Unfeigned means unpretentious. It's not without with hypocrisy. I love you because you're my brother in Christ. That's why we can call Brother June, you can call Brother Gideon, you can call Sister so-and-so. Why? Because we're from the same womb. Okay? Okay, the Bible says, John 1 verse 12. What does it say? John 1 verse 12. John chapter 1 verse 12. Anyone? See? Okay, as many as received Him and as many as welcomed Him into your life, okay, gave He power, gave He permission, authorized Him to become what? The child of God. Okay, in John chapter 3 verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So being born again into the family of God makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, all Christians actually are brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, as long as you've trusted Christ, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Brother Johnny, what about people from other churches or have other Christian friends? Are they my brothers and sisters in Christ? Answer is yes. Okay, we are from different churches. If they are a Christian, we need to love them as we love Christ. Of course, if they are from a different church with different teaching, we still respect them for who they are as our brothers and sisters in Christ. But of course, sometimes we may have to contend, not in a bad way, but just to share with them what the Bible teach. Okay? So we have to be very clear on that. Okay? So because we're from the same, especially when God appoints us in a church, the Ambassador Baptist Church, God has appointed us together in this church, all the more we need to show love and care because we are family here. Alright? A church family. Okay? You know what's interesting? The word brotherly love, I'll go on and then we can see how. Okay, so how do we add brotherly love? Okay, I want us to think a little bit. Okay, then we will finalize the answer. I will have different people take different verses, okay? And then after you tell me, how do we add brotherly love? All right? Okay, Joseph, I'd like you to take the first one. John chapter 13, verse 34-35. Then Brother Joshua. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16-18. Brother Gideon. Proverbs 17 and... wait, hang on. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Okay, I'll skip over to this side. Esther Joy, you can take Proverbs 27, verse 5-6. And Lydia, if you can take Galatians 6, verse 1. Okay, and then Sister Allison, if you can take Galatians 6, verse 2. And then Sister Ason, you can take Galatians 6, verse 10. Okay, the last two we all do together. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Okay. Okay, the rest of us, we look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Okay. And the thing you need to answer is this. How, based on those verses, do we add unconditional love? How do we add unconditional love? Sorry, how do we add brotherly love to our faith? Okay? We take 2 minutes. Okay, for those who just come in, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. We are doing how to add brotherly love, okay, to our faith. Okay, we take 2 minutes, then after that I'll get people to share their answers. Okay? Then there are essentially 10. For Colossians 3, verse 12 to 14, there is actually 3 points. Okay, but you remember your verse? Okay, now. Okay, if you are ready with the answers, you can put up your hand. You can not put up, you can lift up your head and how do we add brotherly love? Okay, for those people reading the verses, I want you to actually remember it, to answer the question. How do we add brotherly love? If you tell me, oh, we need to love one another, that's not the answer. Because we already thought about how to add brotherly love. So you need to look at the verse and think, Lord, how do I add brotherly love? How do I add brotherly love? I know I'm supposed to abide in love, but how do I do it? I'm not asking you to just tell me what the verse means. I'm telling you to understand what the verse means and apply the verse. How do I add brotherly love? Okay? I'll give you a clue. You always start with by doing something. By doing something. Okay? Yeah? For those, I didn't give you the passage. You can look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. And you can think about, how do I have brotherly love? There are three bys there. Okay? No, sorry, there are two bys there. If you're ready, you can look up, and then we can start the ball rolling, okay? So the question is, how do we add brotherly love? Okay, are we ready? Okay, we get Joseph to start. Point number one, how do we add brotherly love? Okay, so how do we add that to our life? Is it hard? How do we add? Yeah, we are two, but how do we add that? Because John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We all know that, right? So how do we add this part to our life? Anyone? By? Okay, by serving each other, after we talk about that. By obedience, the first one, by obedience. Okay? Many Christians say they love God and they love the brethren. They know they're supposed to do that, but by their obedience, they don't show that. When Jesus actually gave this verse, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. It is very significant. It's very important to study in the context of John 13. Because in John chapter 13, no one was willing to wash one another's feet. And Jesus had to set the example. And then when Judas left, Jesus says, I'm going to teach you. You need to love one another as I have. The way I wash your feet, I'm willing to humble myself to wash you, is the way you need to treat one another. Does that make sense? By obedience. Because by nature, we're all very proud. And many times we're selfish. I mean, this is a part of the human nature, but you know, Jesus came to put away this pride and selfishness so that we can add brotherly love. Okay? Any questions? So firstly, by obedience. Number two, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Brother Joshua, what's the second way of, based on that verse in context, what does it mean? You want to read the verse first? Okay. You want to read the whole passage first? Okay, so how do we add brotherly love? The clue is in 17:18. Anyone? To help Brother Joshua? The verse in 17 says, whoso had this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth out his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? What's the second point? By meeting the needs of each other. It's very simple. There's one phrase which is quite funny, I think, but it's also quite sad. But there's this plug actually in another church of a denomination. It says, don't say you will die for Christ. You are not even willing to attend church. Don't say that you're willing to give up all for Jesus Christ we're not willing even to attend church at the right time. You know, that's what John is saying. He says, look, this is how we see the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for one another, brethren. And then he asks a question, which one of you have a lot of money, have property, have things? Then you see a brother have a need, but you don't do anything to help him. John is then saying, where in the world does the love of God, is the love of God not dwelling in you? Okay, he says, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And then he went on to say, my brethren, my little children, don't just love, let us not love in word. In other words, don't just say we love God. Don't just say we love the brethren. But let's love in deed and in truth. In deed means by action. In truth means do it truly, do it from the heart, do it sincerely, do it the right way. Okay? By meeting each other's needs. Okay? And that's something that even as a church, we need to start really thinking, how can I meet someone's needs? Those who came for the Yishun discipleship group, there's something that we're supposed to do, all right? So please don't forget it. Okay? All right? Okay. Okay, any questions? By meeting each other's needs. Number three, Proverbs, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Ragidian, how do we add brotherly love? So? Yeah? But what does the verse say? Okay, okay. Okay. Okay, okay. What does the last part of verse 8 say? Okay. We add brotherly love by covering a multitude of sins. Now I need to explain this a bit because some people say, wow, then when we deal with sin, hey, you're not showing love because you're dealing with sin. Let me explain this. Peter actually mentioned about covering the multitude of sins. Number one, we're all sinners. We all have our weaknesses, we all fall. I fall, you fall, we fall. Okay? And it is very easy to point fingers at everyone else when they fall, when there are weaknesses and sin and people say something wrong or whatever, it's very quick to judge. But Peter is challenging the Jewish Christians to say, have fervent charity among yourselves. He's saying, have the love of... Charity is interesting. What charity means? Unconditional love. But have boiling, unconditional, fervent means boiling. That means your love for each other is so hot that is the overwhelming principle in your life, that you love one another so much that even though he offend me, even though he say something wrong, even though whether intentionally or unintentionally, you cover it. In other words, if let's say Brother Gideon offends me or I offend him, the love between us is so strong. It's okay, Pastor. Let's move on. That's all. And how much time and trouble we will save if we just have that love. I'm not saying that he can steal your things and steal $1 million from you and you don't deal with him. I'm not saying that. God do have principles that you go to the brother, hey, you did this, and if the brother says, I'm sorry, I should have done that, it's okay, but please remember, don't do it. Let's move on, let's serve the Lord, let's go. There is that love between brothers and sisters that overlooks sin. It's just like in the family. Some families are very intense. Everything also you have to deal with. But some families say, "Aiya, he broke something, he offended something." But next day, they are fine already. They just put it away, let's move on. Move on means they are very clear in their hearts. I love my brother, I love my sister, I'm not going to hold it against them anymore. It's over. We add brotherly love by covering a multitude of sins. Okay? Now, I want to qualify this also. That this covering a multitude of sins, number one, does not mean you don't deal with it. Okay? Which means that if you offend me, in brotherly concern, I will come to you and tell you, hey, the day when you said that, but before you even go to that person, you are not expecting the person anything, from you anything. You're just saying, I'm just telling you as a brother, I've already forgiven you. It's over. I'm not holding you against you. I just want to let you know. So that if you have love for me, you will say, really? I'm sorry, I should have done that. Once you have the attitude, Satan don't have any way of coming in between. Does that make sense? But when someone says, hey, I'm going to tell you, I expect you to pay. Of course, if you have done wrong, then pay. Okay, if you've done wrong, pay. Okay, that's a principle of Christian life. But if you don't know, and he highlights to you, and you've done that wrong thing, still pay, because you don't know, but someone tells you that you've done wrong. Okay, but in this principle of covering a multitude of sins, it has to do with, you offend me, I offend you, and the offenses are covered. We don't make it as an issue, we move on and follow the Lord. Okay? When it comes to public sin, it's a bit different. Because God has other principles of dealing with that. But when it comes to personal offenses, I have one principle for myself. You can offend me, it's okay. It's okay. You say things against me, say things on my back, you can even take my things. Sorry, some people say, oh, you're too easy. Actually, it's not. I wouldn't hold anything against anyone. I can honestly say I have nothing. Yesterday, Brother Jacob asked this question, how many of you got enemies? Then I put out my hand. Then Jacob said, Pastor got enemies? Then after that, someone said, qualify lah. I'm my own enemy. Satan is my enemy. I got enemies. But no, honestly, I don't have enemies of people. I mean, we can get along, we talk. Yeah, sometimes we may say things a bit crudely, but you say, I don't know, that's pastor, it's okay. You know, I appreciate people who just say, that's pastor, he's like that one, and just leave it and move on. Okay? But when it comes to church and God's work, I'm slightly impatient, because we don't live for ourselves, we live for God, and we need to defend His honor. It's just like a mom and dad, just like husband and wife, you defend the honor of each other. When someone says something wrong, you stand up for that person and say, no, if you want to find out, you go and ask the person, you don't anyhow say anything. So you defend that person out of love, okay? So covering a multitude of sins always have to do with interpersonal relationships, one-on-one. Okay? From a church perspective, it's different. In fact, when we have to deal with sin, it is always love. All right, after this, we talk about that. Any questions? So in between, we need to grow by learning to say, it's okay. All right, put it away if you feel offended. And this thing about feeling offended is a very big thing, because you know, when you feel offended, we have to be clear that it's a biblical offense. It's not your feeling of offense. Okay, so we have to. But love covers a multitude of sins. We need to cover each other's sins if you want to have brotherly love. Because I can tell you, if you take offense at everyone, love doesn't work at all. Okay? All right, next one. Proverbs 27, verse 5 and 6. Who's that? The Joy, huh? Okay? So how do you add brotherly love? Okay, by telling the person he's wrong when he's doing wrong. Let me read Proverbs 27, 5 and 6. Open rebuke is better than secret love. In Singapore, is secret love is better than open rebuke. Let's be honest. In Singapore, secret love is better than open rebuke. So you don't tell people when they're done wrong. You know, people get offended when we tell them they're wrong. Let's be honest. Let's really be honest. The Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. Don't say you love someone when unwilling to tell the person he's wrong. I'm thankful for brethren who are willing to. By the way, don't publicly tell everyone. Just go straight to that person. All right? And preserve his dignity, preserve his reputation. But you know, in love, bring him aside. Say, brother, you cannot do this. Tell him he's wrong. And brethren, when someone comes to you, and even if you come to me, I count it a blessing. Someone said, Pastor, I think you shouldn't have said that. Or really, then I need to reflect, okay, I need to be more careful. Because, you know, the reason why you come to me is not because you don't love me. In fact, you care for me, that's why you come and tell me. Open rebuke is better than secret love. This is very important. How do we add brotherly love? By rebuking sin in another person's life. Because when a person has sin in his life, he's not right with God. And if he's not right with God, everything, his prayer won't be answered. He has no power in his ministry. If he's married, his family is not going to be strong because it's sin. But when you tell the person, it's just like if you know that there's a cobra in a house and maybe, there's a cobra. Oh, really? You go and find, get rid of cobra. Otherwise, everything else gets affected. Does that make sense? Simple illustration. If you add brotherly love, it's by rebuking sin. Let's look at Proverbs 27, verse 6. Okay, for teenagers, this is a verse I memorized when I was probably between 13 to 15 years old. Okay, and I remembered it. I was a little more zealous in this passage. Over time, I've learned to temper it with grace. But let's read Proverbs 27, verse 6. Okay, ready? 1, 2, go. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. In school, if you have friends, oh, Hannah, you're always so hardworking. You're such a wonderful person, you know. And be very careful, a person who always sings praises of you all the time. The Bible says he probably wants something from you. Your boss comes, okay, I need to be careful, all right? But here, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. If you're a genuine friend, will tell the faults of another person in a kind way, in a loving way, in a compassionate way. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A genuine friend will tell you, this is right, this is wrong, please get it right. And it's very hard, because we Singaporeans are very thick-skinned. Or rather, we are thin-skinned, not thick-skinned. Okay? Brotherly love involves rebuking sin. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Any questions? Okay, this adding brotherly love. These are the different specific teachings in the Bible. Okay, the next one, Galatians 6 verse 1. Okay. Restoring by dealing with each other's sin. The Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and the person has, the word overtaken in a fault has the idea of he has not only sinned, he's controlled by it. You know, it's very hard to deal with someone who's controlled by a sin because he's already in it. And when you the more you tell him, the more angry he gets. But you need to. You need to. Ye which are spiritual. Now, it is not about you who think you are more holy. That's not what it means. You who are spiritually minded, you who realize, hey, that is wrong, and God gave me a responsibility, I need to deal with that. Ye which are spiritual, bring the person back. Restore such an one in a spirit of humility. Interesting, in considering yourself, the consider yourself has to do with, you need to be very careful because when you are restoring someone, number one, the devil may tempt you to think you're better than that person. That's why in the spirit of humility, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted to think you're better than that person. And you fall. The moment pride comes in, love goes out. I say again, the moment pride comes in, love goes out. Because you stand taller than that person. And pride always puts ourselves higher than our person. Okay? So, point number five, by adding brotherly, by dealing with each other's sin. Okay? In a compassionate, humble way. That's how we add brotherly love. Okay? Galatians 6, verse 2. Okay, by bearing one another's burdens. And in this, we add brotherly love by bearing one another's burdens. In the context of Galatians 6, 1 and 2, it has to do with when you're actually helping this person dealing with sin, you carry that burden with him. If the person is willing to repent and say, yes, brother, I really am caught up with this sin, I need your help, and you're willing to say, I'll stay with you, I'll pray with you, I'll fast with you, I'll do what, and you bear that person's burdens, okay? And so you bear that person's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? The law of love. The law of Christ is a law of love. So if you bear one another's burdens, you are fulfilling the law of love that Jesus commands us. All right? Now, applying this generally, if Brother Song Ling has a need, Brother Jun has a need, Maybe one of the sisters have a need. Bear ye one another's burden. The word bear means to carry up. Okay? Imagine this is a burden and someone is struggling. Remember, I think there was one time Joseph was helping to carry the pulpit. Remember? Joseph, can you come and help again? Just bear ye one another's burdens. Okay? Can you carry the pulpit, please? I think he's very experienced. He knows he can't. Let's do it together. Are you bearing? This burden belongs to him. But he's supposed to carry it and bring it to Pastor Darrell. He can't. Okay. Can we do it together? Okay. Careful. I don't care. So he's supposed to bring it, his burden, he's supposed to bring it there. He can't. I see the need. I can't. Come, let's do it together. He's more able to. You know, there's something that as Christians, you know, bearing one another's burden may mean that it's to love someone. I want to make this point. As much as filial, brotherly love, I used to think brotherly love means filial is one step lower than agape. I used to think that. Because it's interesting though, when Brother Joshua Kock read the verse in 1 John 3:16 to 18, the Apostle John did not use filial. He used agape. In other words, brother to brother, brotherly love means because you are brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ, all the more you need to show the unconditional love to one another. All the more. Because you already are filled with Christ's love. Okay? It is therefore a sad thing that we find it hard to show love to our brethren. Okay? So when we bear one another's burdens, I make that point to make this point. Unconditional love means you will do whatever it takes to help the brother. Right? Jesus gave up all to save us. In order for me to help Joseph carry this thing towards Pastor Darrell, I need to give up my time. I need to give some energy. I need to bear his burdens. Now, who is stronger, me or him? I mean, to carry this lah. Me. I may have to put in more effort. And you could see him. You know, don't worry, in a few years' time, he'll be like, Jairo. It requires effort. It requires time. It requires sometimes your resources so that you can bear this person's burden. Okay? Adding brotherly love has always to do with sacrifice for someone else. And that's how we add brotherly love. Okay? And sometimes when a person goes through rejection or saying, no, I'm not wrong and all that, you may have to bear in your heart that this person hates you after that when you deal with the person's sin. You know? Please understand this. When you're willing to be a brother, you must be prepared to lose your friends. That's why the meaning of friend in the Bible, I learned this just recently, you can be a friend without having friends. Because it's not about people's response to you. You're a friend because you love that person. If you're a genuine friend, may lose friends. Not because you hate that person, offend the person, but because you are doing things that sometimes the person don't like telling him off for doing wrong. A person may not want to see you again, that kind of thing. You may need to just say, okay, God, I'm doing your will. Hopefully this person can see. But even though he walk away, I'll still love him. That's a friend. And in times of need, he will still call you again. Does that make sense? So a very essential point, brotherly love, is to bear one another's burdens. You know, coming to the simplest point, in Ambassador, we need to be more aware. All of us have struggles that we go through. And we need to be aware and give ourselves to someone else. I can tell you, when you learn to bear one another's burdens, God blesses you as well. Okay? So adding brotherly love by bearing each other's burdens. Okay? Galatians 6 verse 10. Okay. Okay. So it's very, especially to the brethren. Okay? Galatians 6 10 says, we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Unto all men. That's a Christian's life, okay? But especially unto them who are also household. Household of faith means what? We're all in the family of God. Especially to Christians. Okay? Perhaps you want to grade it firstly to The principle is to all men, to all Christians. But if you're a household of faith, firstly to your own house, if you're Christians, in the church, we need to watch out for one another because we're the same family. But of course, if there are Christians out there, we need to look out for their needs as well to help them, to do good, okay? Brotherly love always does good to someone else, okay? All right, let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Okay, this one we look together. How do we add brotherly love to our relationships as Christians, to our faith? Okay, remember, it's adding to your faith. It's not just about relationships, but it's about faith. Genuine faith, or rather faith in Christ, will lead us to add brotherly love. All right? The Bible says, Colossians 3, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Put on therefore as the children of God, elect of God. You are set apart and you are loved. Before we can love someone brotherly, we need to, basically Paul says, remember your position. Remember your position. Put on therefore as God's children, you are set apart by God and you are beloved by God. In other words, you have a close relationship with God because He's your Father. He has given His love and spirit in you. You are set apart for Him. Okay? So what you do, how we react, and how we respond, need to reflect the position. Okay? What do you need to do? Put on what? Bowels of mercy. The word bowels, bowels have to do in the olden times. The word bowels means inside here. You know your bowels? Say, have you heard of bowel movement? Do you know what is bowel movement? Bowel movement. This thing I call your bowels. Basically, inside. Put on bowels of mercy. Put God's love inside your heart. Be kind. Put kindness inside your heart. Put humility inside your mind. And put meekness inside your heart. And put long suffering. In order to forgive and forbear, which is the two things you need to do, you have to put all these things. For a soldier, before he goes to war, he needs to know how to wear his boots, wear his helmet, how to put on his equipment, how to fire the rifle. I'm sad to say, if they ask me to go to war today, I only know how to use the M16. I do not know how to use the SAR, which is a newer one. Okay, so you told me that I was supposed to serve NS last year. Okay, I was supposed to go back because I still owe them, but because I said I'm a pastor and things like this. In fact, they're quite nice. They say if you serve for 10 days, we will give you $40,000. Not financial, in the CPF lah, okay? I say, no, sorry, my family and my ministry more important. And he say, okay. But I think the thing was, I told him this, sir, the army has changed so much. I've not been in there for 10 to 15 years. I don't even know what to do. And he also say, okay. In the end, I didn't go. But here, Paul says, put on kindness, love, humility, long-suffering, and meekness inside your heart. In other words, every day of your Christian life, when you face people, especially Christians, you need to put all these things in first. When do you do it? When you read your Bible and pray. Okay? That's why your devotional quiet time, Bible reading time, is so important. Some Christians don't read their Bibles. They don't spend time with God. Or they read 5-10 minutes. But they don't put it on. Literally, when you say put on, means you actually, after your Bible reading, you learn the lesson, you pray, God, fill me with your spirit. I pray that your love, your kindness, your meekness, your long-suffering will be with me as I go to work, as I go to church, as I go to whatever, that I will show your love first. Okay? Because after it's there, then Paul says, forbearing one another. What forbear? Okay, the number 8 point is, how to add brotherly love? By tolerating one another. Okay? The word forbearing means to tolerate. It means to endure. Means to... Have you been around people, when the moment they say things are very... not very nice, man. I'm not talking about non-Christians, I'm talking about Christians. And they just talk and or maybe the way they smell. Or maybe they always wear their glasses like that and come to church. And they think it's okay. And you say, can you please put your glasses properly? And after that, you keep on telling him, so you feel very frustrated. But you know, tolerating means accepting the person for who he is. Okay, what if someone comes in? Can I hit here? And then you're beside the person. Now I've seen Christian literally move away. That's not tolerating. A Christian with love will actually reach out and help. Whereas someone, there was one situation where Charles Wesley, apparently when he preached, when he really got saved and he preached, and he told that we are all sinners. And the people in the pulpit are saying, are you saying I'm a sinner? You know, during those times, in the 1700s, when they believe that salvation is because I was born in a Christian family. So they are very holy. They come to church, they give their money. Some of them are actually presidents of certain clubs in the church. When Charles Wesley preached that we are all sinners, they look at him and say, no, we're not sinners like those people out there. People can, we're all different. We all have different behaviors, attitudes, and all that. The first rule of brotherly love is to accept people as who they are. Accepting them. The word tolerating means the person may have weaknesses and all that. You accept them by tolerating one another. Does it make sense? Any questions on this? Does it make sense? In other words, you just accept the person for who he is. If he's a brother in Christ, he may be quite smelly, maybe because he's poor, he may not have new clothes, he may not... And this was in the context of the olden days whereby there's some believers who are really poor. They may come to church with hole in the pants, their shirt, the pocket come out, they have no money to buy needles or whatever to sew, and they come and sit down, they're all ragged, and people look at them and say, no, just accept them, tolerating them. Okay, that's brotherly love always accepts. Brotherly love always accepts. Okay? That's the first principle. Point number 8, by tolerating one another. Okay? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Now, the forbearing can go further, not just the outward, but the person may do things that always irritate you. And that's why Paul says, look, some of us, our patience is so long. Some of us, our patience is so long. We're all different. Okay? But when we listen to what God says, doesn't matter if your patience is this or this, God gave the command, forbear and forgive. What does forgiveness mean? I want to really drill this in. What does forgiveness mean? Catherine, what's your idea of forgiveness? What do you mean by I? What do you mean when you forgive someone? Okay. You can't forget it even if you want to because things has happened. But you say never mind. It's okay. Okay. Anyone else? Forgiveness. Sorry. Forget. Okay. Anyone else? Sorry. Don't bring it up again. Okay. Okay. I did make a mention on the Friday nights. Sometimes it's very hard to forget an offense. You can't forget. Actually, we cannot forget. You know, I've learned this. Just forgive and forget. Time can make the memory of the event less painful. But you'll probably remember what happened. But Joshua, when you forgive, there are two things that happen in forgiveness. There are many things, but I'll just highlight two things. One, when someone offends you, he has to pay back, right? Right? Let's say he offended me, he said something that's wrong, he so-called hurt me. This is so popular now in Christian circles. When you hurt me, guess who is the God? Who's God? When you hurt me. When Jesus says, forgive. Alright? So forgiveness has to do with when you hurt, or let's say you offended me, you have to pay me, right? Forgiveness means you owe me something. Forgiveness means I'm not going to charge you for it. I take it away, I pay for it. Okay? That means he is not he doesn't have to pay me for it. Just like what Catherine says, just leave it aside, let's move on, I don't worry about it. In other words, I accept the pain on his behalf. That's why when Jesus forgave us, you don't have to pay for your sin. Jesus paid for it. Don't ever forget, forgiveness is not free. It's free to us, but it's not free to Christ. He had to bear everything that we have done. As a Christian, if we cannot understand that, we fail to understand what genuine forgiveness is. So firstly, you know what? When you stand before the judgment seat, will Jesus bring up your sins? No. It's paid for already at the cross. I don't know about you, that's wonderful. Because you and I have done things that we're not proud of. But when Jesus says, I'm not going to bring it up ever again because it's all under the blood, it's over. Okay? So the first thing in forgiveness is that you don't hold the person accountable anymore. No matter how much he's offended you. That's one thing. Alright? In forgiveness, what you do also is to set that person free. You let that person go free. Because you no longer hold that person, that means the next time you hang on, the next time you come to him, and if he thinks, I've offended Pastor Johnny. And I say, hey, come, let's have breakfast. Then I don't talk anything about the wrong, I just eat and as if nothing happened. His heart is free in that sense. Right, get it? Does that mean you have to trust him afterwards? Now, it's a case-by-case thing. Because the Bible says, charity believeth all things. In other words, he believes in that person. Doesn't mean you don't tell him off for where he's done wrong. Okay? And you can also say, because I love you, the last time I loaned you $1,000, you never pay. I'm sorry, I cannot lend you anymore. It doesn't mean that you... But if you want to take a risk and trust him, love is always risky. God's love. You say, okay, I'll trust you that you will pay me back. But if you do it again, then it'll be wiser, being an own steward of your money, say, I don't think I can lend you anything unless you prove to me that you can work. And you know, you're not saying, I don't trust you. You're saying, you need to learn not to trust yourself and have someone else help you. Yes. Do you know what I mean? It's a very subtle thing. And sometimes say, oh, you don't let me. You say you love me, you don't love me. Actually, I love you, I care for you, I believe in you. But you got to recognize that you have a problem. And you need to deal with it. And I'm telling you, you know what I mean? So, it's not that I don't trust you, but you need to stop trusting yourself. Because you keep saying you can do it. You keep saying that I can manage my money, but actually you can't. Does that make sense? So, I think we need to be wise and think through this. But adding brotherly love is to add the whole area of forgiveness. Some Christians find it very hard to forgive. There are some that I know, they cannot forgive. They cannot let things go. You have to. As a Christian, one of the characteristics of a Christian is forgiveness. You know why? Because our Savior's characteristic is forgiveness. It has to be our characteristic too. But Brother Johnny, it's so painful. How painful it is for Jesus to be betrayed by Peter, who said he loved him. But Jesus forgave him. Not only that, Jesus set Peter free in his heart, you know. And Peter went on to serve Christ. Okay? Does that make sense? Alright. And of course, by forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel, Colossians 3 verse 13, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, the model of your forgiveness is not you, it's not what you think, it's not what the situation is. The model of forgiveness is as Christ forgave you. You need to forgive the person. That's the model of forgiveness. You know, some people say, I'm not going to forgive him because of this, 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 this. Then we may have to ask, how did Christ forgive you? That is the model. And we need to follow that principle. If you are Christians, if you're not Christians, then follow your own flesh. Okay? But if you're a Christian, you need to follow how Christ... Forgiveness is always tough because forgiveness means you lose. But actually, in Christ, you win. Okay? Okay? And the last one, let's turn to Ephesians 4:15. Then we'll wrap up. Ephesians 4:15, let's read together. Ephesians 4:15, ready? 1, 2, go. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. understand? By telling the truth to one another. Okay? If you love someone, you always tell the truth. When a person is not walking with God, I've seen this happen so many times. Young people get along with another young people who's not walking with God. You say, hey, come, let's have coffee, let's have tea, let's play together, as if nothing is wrong. If we are Christians and we see our teenage friends in sin and doing the wrong thing and don't tell them, you don't love him. You don't love them. You don't love them. That's what the Bible says. Because genuine love will say, I'm not saying go and scold them and shout at them or that, say, hey, you didn't come to church. Eh? I don't think that's right. Because the Bible says this. Genuine love will tell. You speak. And in the context of Ephesians 4, Paul is saying, as everyone learn to speak the truth one to another, we actually help everyone to grow in the right way. Does that make sense? If you have brothers and sisters or friends who are walking in sin and you don't say anything, I know for some it's very hard. Some it's, I don't lose my friends. We need to grow and understand that it's not so much you lose your friends, you never grow your character as a Christian. That's why some adults have problems. They have never learned to be strong in God's words and obey Him. Okay? You will speak the truth to each other when the person's not doing right. Or sometimes we know the truth. I'll be honest. Sometimes it's very hard for me for me as pastor to tell members that they are wrong. Now, I'm very clear, it's not because I don't want to lose members. It's because of me, I'm proud. I don't want to lose my friends. But I've made decisions along the way. Lord, I'm serving you, I'm not serving myself. When a person has done wrong, my pastoral duty, number one, I have a pastoral duty to tell you you're wrong. Number two, based on scripture, as a friend, as a brother, I need to tell you you're wrong. Or you need to tell me I'm wrong. Of course, please do it respectfully about the pastor. But you can put it, pastor, you know, I'm a bit concerned about this. And God is also teaching me to learn to listen a bit more. But I think it's more important that we recognize we need to speak the truth in love, in a loving way, in a concerned way. I've seen people in... I can't remember whether I was involved, but I'm not full-time yet. I've seen how deacons attack pastors in business meetings. And it's so sad because it shows a lack of respect, firstly, for God. You know, but you know, between brethren, we need to be able to share and tell you, hey, I think the way this was done wasn't right according to the scriptures. If your way, my way, then we can negotiate and compromise. But if it's God's way, let's stick with it, okay? But the principle here is, let's speak the truth in love. Why? So that we can grow up into Christ in all things. Because He's the head. God's model is to be our model, okay? Any questions? Any questions? As we... A memory verse is 1 John 4, verse 10 to 11. Okay? I'll just read, hearing His love. Okay, maybe all turn there. Let's read together. That's our memory verse for next week, okay? Hope you're remembering all the others also. Okay, 1 John 4, 10, 11. Let's read together. Ready? Ready? 1, 2, go. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. John says, as we close, this is love. Not that we love God, but that He first loved us. That's important. We don't care about God. But God says, I love first, and I give my life to be a propitiation. I pay for your sin first. And then, John says, beloved, if this is the way God loved us, let's love one another this way too. Let's love when the other person is not loving. Let's love him first. And let God move in his heart to love us back. All right? So, and any questions? Any questions? But let's close in a word of prayer, then we can fellowship and have coffee and stuff like this. Pastor Darrow is here, so let's be a blessing to him too. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you that we are reminded, Lord, to love one another. And I'm praying, Father, that your Holy Spirit will give us, Lord, the courage and strength, wisdom and grace to do the right thing as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, help us not to love our way, because if we love our way, we'll always fail. But when we learn to trust you, Lord, when we learn to forgive like you did, learn to love like you did, Lord, our love will become richer, our love will become stronger in Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray for a wonderful service to follow. We thank you. Challenge our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll come back in about half an hour. Okay, let's fellowship. Let's just rest and just recite 11.